I'd like to turn with us for a brief reading lesson this morning. I'd like for you to turn with us to 2 Timothy and the 4th chapter. 2 Timothy and the 4th chapter. And I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. This message has been on my heart just about all week, and I'm ready to unload it. It seems like I've preached a message similar to this in recent times past. And if that's the case, it'll be all right. But it's a subject that I believe every person struggles with at some point in their life. Whether you're lost or saved. You know, there's a common thing today among everyone is that they can't figure this out. I hear all of the time, well, I just don't know how to do this. So teach me how to do this. And you say, preacher, what is this thing I need to know how to do or I need to be taught how to do? And that's pray. People today ask me all of the time, well, how do I pray? Or I hear in testimonies, I didn't know how to pray before God saved my soul. Or when people would tell me to pray so that I could be saved, I didn't even know how to begin to pray or where to even start. And I'm going to say this morning that prayer is something that comes when you do it every day and all day. It's something that you have to constantly be in preparation with and doing. I believe the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. That means not stopping. That means not ever not being in communication with the Lord Himself. I believe that's important in a saved person's life. If a person is ever going to be saved, they've got to pray. If a person is going to sustain themselves with the Lord's help after that they have been saved, they have to pray. A prayer doesn't stop the moment that God saves us and He allows us to have that salvation. Prayer is a thing that goes with us the entire rest of our lives. Now, our cell phones and our landline phones, they may not work all of the time. But I'll guarantee you this morning, there is an access to heaven that is never closed. There's always an access to God the Father if we'll go to Jesus Christ in a humble, a submissive prayer toward God, what God would have for us to do. And I believe the Bible teaches that all through the Old Testament and all through the New. If you'll read with us this morning, in the 16th verse of the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. Paul was giving him some very good instructions in these two pastoral letters. Timothy was going to pastor a church, and Paul, if you know anything about Paul, Paul had been everywhere. Paul had done a lot of things. Paul had really persecuted the church when he was Saul, and he had really done some things that he was not proud of. But after the Lord saved him on the road to Damascus, Paul went, and Paul did a lot of great things for the cause of Christ. And I'm going to say this morning that it's because of his communication and his love for God the Father. If he didn't do that, there would be no way that he could have done the things that he did. It says in the 16th verse, it says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And he goes on to end his letter to Timothy with a few other things, but we'll stop our reading there for a few moments this morning. If we could title this morning, it would be "When I Kneel to Pray." People today often think that you have to be down on your knees to pray. When I was growing up, I remember some of the prayers that they used to pray at church. There used to be a lot of men that used to sit in the men corners of churches. I don't know how many of you remember, but in times gone by, the churches would be full. there would be people just sitting everywhere. And I vividly remember growing up there at Pleasant Hill and remembering the first night of revival. It always scared me to death. I always remembered Brother Jerry Brandon and my granddad, Brother John Marlin, and Brother Ernest Sanford. They'd all get over there in the Amen corner and they'd begin to sing the songs of Zion. We would sing, "I Can Tell You the Time," and "I Can Take You to the Place," and they'd sing those bass parts that would just make the roof run off the church because the men began to sing and they would begin to, the power would begin to come on the place, and it was a wonderful feeling, but it scared me to death, especially as I became lost. Now you reminisce this morning. You go back to those times when people really prayed. And I mean, they really prayed. And I mean, they stayed in constant prayer with God. They asked God, "What do we do?" And they did it when He gave them an answer. But you remember, I remember, I would sit on the first row there at Pleasant Hill. And they weren't very far from me. The church wasn't near as big as this one. And they would call for that first prayer, and all of them would drop to their knees. And so my first impression of what prayer had to be was, is you always had to be kneeling. But that wasn't the case. But I remember as they began to call out on the name of God, and they began to get in contact with the Lord, it seemed as though all heaven came down and the floor of the very church shook because of the power in the way that they prayed. I remember that. That's made a lasting impression on me that will last as long as I live. I'll never forget hearing those men of God pray. And you know what they prayed for? I remember hearing them call out to God and asking Him, "Lord, we need Your help. Lord, we need Your conviction. Lord, we need Your mercy on those that might be here and that were lost." In that moment, I think, well, they're coming after me now. Those prayers seemed to get right with me, and no matter what I did, I could not shake those people praying. I remember hearing people say, and people still don't understand the concept in a Baptist church of everyone praying together. I'm going to make this statement, and you can agree or you can disagree with me. I really don't care. But I believe God is able to hear everybody praying at the exact same time. Some places, and I'm not knocking their customs, if that's the way that they do things, well, then that's just how they do them. But I believe in everybody calling on the name of God, and you don't have to do it audibly. You don't have to raise your voice and lift it to the sky to pray a prayer, but I believe in people calling on the name of God. I believe in that. Some of the darkest times in my life, I've called out to God when I never uttered a word. It came from the heart. But I remember I have friends that would come to me to church and they'd say, "It sounded like y'all were calling in demons when you began to pray." And I think, well, that's not what we're calling in. We're calling in God. We're calling out to our Savior so that He might meet with us. So that He might open up the storehouses of heaven, come down through the church, and bless us through those prayers. I believe at the very core of a saved person's life, and if you ever want to begin your sanctification, you need to pray. And you need to pray with earnest about yourself. But I thought about those men this week, and I remember the amen that would follow that prayer. It was an amen that would knock you off the seat. An amen was the asking of God, the sealing of God, that they might bless what they just asked for. And you know the best thing about it? God don't have to do anything we ask Him to do. He could very well turn us away and say, "I don't want anything to do with you or what you ask." But God loves His people. And He desires that they might call out to Him. And I'm thankful today that I have grown up in a way where people can get in contact with the Lord. I've made this mention many times, and I'm going to say it again this morning. I believe God speaks to His children. If we read over in John,
and it talks about the good shepherd. It talks about how the sheep, they know His voice. Those that have been saved by the grace of God, they know when God speaks to them. It's not a great big mystery. It's not something that we cannot understand. I believe God speaks clearly to all of us. And our method of communication is not an iPhone 6 Plus. I'm thankful to the good Lord that it's not. Those things, they fail, but my God has never failed me. And a lot of times in those prayers, have you ever just been praying? Have you ever just knelt down to pray and you just knew you weren't getting anywhere? You just knew that nothing that you said mattered. Nothing that you said ever even got above your head. I've been there. That's hard. When you are just praying to be praying. But now when you begin to pray, and you think about this time, but when we begin to pray, and we begin to call out to God, and I thought about this morning as I was driving over here, my 3-minute drive, I thought about how that a lot of times I get down on my knees and I begin to pray, and immediately I jump in and I just begin to ask for everything. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this. Lord, I've got to have this. Lord, I need that. But you know what I've forgotten to do? I've forgotten to thank Him. That's a hard situation to be in. A lot of times our lives, they become so full and so void of God and His things that we forget to thank Him for all that He's done. There's a song that we sing, oh, that I would thank Him for all that He's done. I believe sometimes, and the Bible teaches us this, that sometimes it's good to just pray and thank God. Sometimes it's good to just say, Lord, I need you to just realize this morning that I love you. And that I just want to thank you for everything that you've done. I was thinking this week about this church. And you know, I began to thank the Lord for Mount Calvary Church. I didn't ask that the Lord would help us grow and prosper and things of that nature in that prayer. I just said, Lord, I want to thank you for Mount Calvary Church and the way that she conducts herself and the way that her members contribute to the church and the way that they so lovingly care for your cause. And you know, I believe God hears those prayers. I believe He wants us to thank Him for things. You know, when we have something happen in our lives, we ask God for things and then we forget to thank Him for them. It's good to thank God when He has answered our prayers. It's good to do that. Because God has given us what we have asked for. The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive. Now, I used to think when you went to Walmart when I was young, ask and you shall receive meant you ask and you got everything that you wanted. If that was the case, the Walmart bill would have been far more than they had ever made in their lifetime. I would have asked and I'd have wanted to receive all of it. You know, sometimes we ask and we expect God to do everything that we have asked. But you know what God's plan is? God's will is far greater than anything that I know about. So sometimes we're praying and sometimes we're saying, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I've got to have. Oh, Lord, so give it to me. Think about old Israel. Israel said, we got to have a king. Lord says, you don't need a king. Israel says, we got to have a king. Lord says, you don't need a king. Israel says, well, we want our king. And you know what God gave them? He gave them a king. And you know what they said after they got their king? Lord, take the king away. But they got what they asked for. Sometimes God does give us just exactly what we ask for. But you know what happens? Sometimes God simply doesn't answer prayers. And you say, preacher, you stood up there and said, God answers prayers, and God does. But you know, sometimes God just doesn't speak. Sometimes nothing said is almost more powerful than saying anything. Sometimes God doesn't answer us immediately. I thought about these verses of Scriptures with Paul when I thought of that. In my Bible, above the heading of these scriptures, it said, "The Lord shall deliver." And God will always supply our needs. God has always supplied the needs of His people. I've never seen any of them go hungry. I've never seen one that has stood in need of anything. You know what some of them have done though? Some of them have given up everything for the cause and they've lost their lives. But God has never let one of His go without anything that they need. Now sometimes they go without things that they want. I want $1 million, but the fact of the matter is I'm probably not going to get $1 million. But you know what God does give? His mercy and His grace, and He delivers. He delivered Paul. If you would read the verses above this, you would read about some men that really gave Paul a hard time. One of them would be Alexander. And just the study that I've done, I can't really pinpoint just exactly who that it was. But it seems as though that the coppersmith really did some bad things to Paul. And you know, I don't necessarily know all of the things that was going on with Paul at that moment. But I do know this. Paul needed some help from God. You know, I have said this before. I like to think that Taylor can do it all on his own. If I really just tried to do everything my way, I would get in trouble a lot because guess what? I don't know everything. But God does. The Scriptures are His mind. They are His testimony. They are His Word. They are His thoughts. They are His ways. And you know, I realize a lot of times, I realize all of the time, that I need God's help. Paul, in this very moment, and I want to read it to you just a moment. He says, "But at first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." A lot of times in our lives, nobody is going to stand with us. As God's people, a lot of times we have trials and things in our lives or because the way that we're called to live our lives, nobody wants anything to do with it. Nobody wants anything to do with the Christians or the saved people, or the ones that go to church. A lot of times that's the way that it is. Those that are fighting are for the true way that God has left for us. Nobody wants to deal with that. So they may forsake us. But Paul was praying to them. You think about that. Those that forsook Paul and the way that Paul was living, he prayed to God and he said, "I pray that it would not be laid to their charge." You know what it takes to do something like that? Wisdom and maturity and a lot of time spent with God. You know, Paul got himself in a lot of predicaments. He went a lot of places, and I guarantee you there were a lot of people that wanted Paul's head. Wanted to get rid of him. But you knew who he knew his help was coming from, and that was the Lord Himself. I thought of old Stephen. As I began to pray and think about this lesson, I began to think about how Stephen just did just exactly what that Stephen was supposed to do. And he stood up before that group of people and he called them a bunch of stiff-necked people. And they didn't like that. They were upset about him getting up there and just railing on them. And so they began to stone old Stephen. And I thought about when I kneel to pray. Sometimes I can look up almost in my mind's eye and I can just see the throne of heaven. The Bible says, and I believe it's over in Galatians, it says, "Approach the throne of grace boldly that we may obtain mercy." It means you've got to boldly approach the throne. It means go to the throne of God or with some kind of ability about yourself. Go and ask God what you need. Approach that throne of grace boldly, that we may obtain mercy. I believe that's talking to saved people. I believe we are the only ones who can approach that throne of grace boldly, that we may obtain mercy. I believe we're the only ones that can do that. But I thought old Stephen, as they began to stone him, and he just looked up, and guess who he saw? He saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And God allowed him to just go on over into that place that was promised to him. You say, "Preacher, Stephen wasn't praying." I guarantee you, Stephen was communicating with God. Any of us in that situation would be calling and asking God to help us. Surely to goodness. But you know, people forsook Paul. People forsook Stephen. And people will forsake you and I. That's just how that life goes a lot of times. But you know, Paul said something else. He said, "I was delivered from the mouth of the lion." And I want to read over in Psalms in the 22nd division. Psalms 22. And I want you to think about this morning as I read these verses of Scripture. Have you ever had somebody that was taller than you that you were trying to talk to? This is a pretty regular occurrence for me. My dad is pretty tall. So if I talk very low, he has to lean in or listen to me because he couldn't hear me otherwise. But you know, God can hear us anywhere that we are. But you know what God does for us? He inclines His ear. He leans in, or He gives us place. You know what that means? It means they're really trying to listen to what you have to say. I believe God cares about us. I believe that. I believe God is interested in us as a people, as a church. I believe He's interested in who we are and what we're doing. I believe that He wants to know more about us. I believe He knows everything about us, but I believe He wants to know us more. And I believe when He inclines that ear, you think about what David said over there in one of the first Psalms. He said, "He inclined His ear unto me." And then what did He do when He inclined His ear? He heard me. And He pulled me out of the miry pit. You know what God does when He saves a soul? He inclines His ear. He pulls them out of the miry pit and sets their feet on a solid rock, just as David described it. But I want to read these verses of Scripture. This is a Psalm of David. And I believe it's to the chief musician. And I want you to think about that lion's pit that old Paul was talking about. Anytime that there was a lion's pit talked about in the Scriptures, it meant a very dangerous place or a very precarious situation that they were in. Think about the man over there, or old Daniel over in the lion's den. He was thrown in there. And those lions most definitely were ready to eat Daniel up. You know what happened with old Daniel in that lion's den? He began to call and pray and sing on the name of the Lord. And God shut the old lion's mouth up so that Daniel would be spared all night. And old King got up the next morning and he went to look in and he said, "He's still alive." And Daniel said, "O King, live forever." I thought about old Daniel and how he must have been there all night wondering if he was going to be saved from this. If he was going to be able to get out of this, but God spared him through His mercy and His grace. But I want you to read this with me. In the 18th verse, we'll start with the 15th verse. Psalm 22:15. It says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, hast thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns." Beautiful words that the psalmist David wrote. David a lot of times got things wrong. David was one that really just sometimes stepped off the course a little bit. But David knew just exactly where his help came from. He knew just exactly who he needed to call upon. He always references God or Jesus and he says, "They're the rock," or "They're the ones that my soul longs for." This is no different. I don't necessarily know what situation David was in here, but he knew that he was in the mouth of a lion. And he knew that he needed the help of God. And when he got there, I believe the Lord heard him. If you read the next few verses of Scripture, there goes from a very sorrowful writing of this psalm to a very glorious praising of the Lord and how He had delivered him. I told you that God delivers us. And He does do that. And I want to close in just a few moments of time. I have a few more verses of Scripture I want to read. And then I'm going to try to close this morning. I want you to turn with me over back to the New Testament. I know I've jumped around a little bit this morning. But I want you to go back with me to the New Testament. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. And this is the upper room. And I want to encourage us. Last week I preached to the church about revival. And how we needed to pray out of Joel, how we needed to call the solemn assembly and sanctify the fast, and how we needed to come together and do the things that God would have for us to do. I told you we needed to pray for our revival. I want to show you something that happened through prayer. When God's people came together here in this upper room, it says in the 12th verse of the first chapter of the book of Acts, it says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These men all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren." You tell me this morning that prayer is not important. I told you this morning as I began that people ask all the times, "Well, how do I pray?" Jesus left us a very good example of how we pray over in the book of Matthew. The Lord's Prayer. Some people today have this idea that if you say that enough, that that's your prayer. Or they say you have certain prayers that you must pray in certain situations. I'm convinced this morning that God wants more from us than just that. He left those men this example. And He says, if you pray like this, I will hear you. The only answer that I have this morning to tell you when it comes to prayer is you pray from the heart. If you're lost this morning, the only way you'll ever get saved is praying from the heart. You'll not get it by praying from your mind or anything else. You can have the most beautiful prayer that there ever has been. I've heard some people, as they pray, they could pray the ceiling down from the church. Just beautiful, elegant prayers that you just knew they were getting in contact with the Lord. And then I've looked around and I've seen little old ladies of the church never utter a word. You never hear them speak up, but you know they're getting in contact with the Lord. It's not about what we utter with our mouth, but you think about what He says over in Romans. It says, with the groanings of our most inner parts. It's the groanings that come from the heart, and the way that we talk to Him, the way that I speak to God, is as if I were sitting down with my very best friend. You know why I say that this morning? It's because He is my very best friend. I would talk to them casual, and I would just talk to them almost in a stream of consciousness, and I would just talk to them as if they were sitting in front of me. And you know where God is with each of us? He's with us all day, every day. We don't have to pull up a chair from the kitchen table and say, "Sit down and talk to us for a little while." We don't have to go and get in a booth, or we don't have to go and talk to a priest or a preacher, or we don't have to do any of those things, because God is always near us to hear our prayer. And it doesn't matter if you're flying in an airplane or in a submarine under the sea, God is able to hear your prayers. So if you want to know how to pray, I'm going to encourage you this morning is to do as the Bible says. Not use vain repetitions. Pray from the heart. Ask God what you will, and then leave it at God's feet and know that He's heard you. And I'm going to implore you this morning, when you pray with conviction about yourself. Pray in a way that you know that God will hear you. I'm going to say this morning, when it comes to praying, one of the very first things that I suggest doing is you go look at your closet. The Bible says to enter into your prayer closet. At home, I have the apartment that I have now. It has a closet as you come in the front door. Right now, there's nothing in it. But as I live there, things will start gathering in that closet. I'll walk in, toss a coat in. Or I'll walk in and toss a bag in. And the longer you live somewhere, the more you accumulate. You know how long I've lived in this body? 23 years. The longer I've lived in it, the more I've accumulated. The Bible says that we're to enter into our prayer closet. Does that mean you go home this afternoon, find a cupboard, and go in there and shove yourself in there and lock the door? Doesn't mean that. What it means is it means find a place where you can get in touch with God the best. The best place that I have to get in touch with God is my car. Going down the road in the front seat, just me and the Lord, a lot of times I don't even realize I've gotten to where I'm going because I've talked to the Lord. The Bible says that He's our best friend. So I believe we should treat Him just like that. It says enter into your prayer closet. And you know, when you go into that closet, if I were to go in there right now, I could probably sit down on the floor pretty good. Nothing in there. In a few months you may say, "Preacher, how's that closet?" And I may say, "Well, it's full now." The best way to go about praying to God is getting everything out of your way. If you need forgiveness from God, ask for forgiveness. And you may say, "Preacher, I don't have..." You know what the best thing that Paul ever... I believe one of the best things Paul told us is to die daily. Repent daily and ask God to forgive us of the things that we've done. You think about that Lord's Prayer. It says, "Forgive us now of our sins," our daily sins or something of that nature. We sin daily. So get that closet cleaned out. And then you begin to pray. And I'm going to implore you, going further than praying, you study your Bible. You prayerfully study that Bible, and God will bless those efforts. The more you pray, the more you study, the closer that you get to God. The reason that I can call Him my best friend is because I spend a lot of time with Him. And you may say, "Preacher, that's a big pat on the back you've got." I realized this morning that I can't do this alone. Preaching, I can't do alone. Pastoring this church, I can't do alone. Taking one more breath, I can't do alone. But what I can do is I can ask my Heavenly Father to help me. As we read about Paul this morning and about those that have forsaken him, he said, "I pray God." He didn't say, "I did this or I did that." He says, "I pray God." I'm going to close with this thought. This church in the upper room, you know the power that was fixing to come down to the church at Pentecost? We can have that today. We can have that in this place. And you may say, "Preacher, there was 3,000 people there." Over 3,000 people there that were gathered. There's probably about 20 of us here this morning. You know what? One person that gets in touch with God has as much power as 5,000 or however many that there ever has been. My God is able. My God is able to do these things, but we've got to pray and ask God. We really, honestly, sincerely have to ask God. Sometimes we have altar prayers, and I believe they're good. Do I believe us all gathering in the altar has a different effect on God, like He hears us differently here than He does anywhere else? No. But I believe it is a unification effort. It's showing that we're coming together and we're praying for the things that God would have for us to do. It says being one accord, one mind, and being unity. I believe that's important. Brothers and sisters, when you kneel to pray, and I don't mean physically, when you go to kneel in prayer this week, pray earnestly. Number one, pray that God will help you. And please pray for the lost around you, those that you've come in contact with. And then pray for this church, that we might be about our Father's business that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. God has been so good to us, so don't forget to thank Him for that too. God has been good to this church. And brothers and sisters, I believe we're all thankful for it, and I believe we've thanked God for it, but I don't think we can ever thank Him enough. It's been good to be here this morning. While we stand together and while we sing, let's come around, shake hands one with another this morning. Tell someone you love them. show everybody here this morning that you care for them, that you want to encourage them, and let somebody know that you're praying for them. One of the greatest things that you can ever do for someone is to tell them, I'm praying for you. Not because it's anything you're doing, but because getting in touch with the Lord on their behalf, oh, it's a blessing. May God help you this morning. While we stand, while we sing, let's come around and shake hands one with another.